This is the meeting of the National Finance Committee on May 2nd, 2017. My name is Alex Steinberg. I am convening this meeting, and I would like to ask the secretary from the 2016 National Finance Committee to call the roll. That is R. Paul Martin. R. Paul, can you go ahead?
Okay. Ken Aaron.
Here.
Dan McGarwal.
Present.
Nick Arena. Chris Corey. Bill Prozier.
Prozier's here.
Nick Economides.
I'm here.
Sabrina Jacobs.
Sabrina Jacobs is here.
R. Paul Martin here. Mansoor Sabah.
Mansoor Sabah's here.
Nancy Sorden. Alex Steinberg.
Present.
Okay, that's eight, and that is a quorum.
Eight out of how many, and who's not on the call?
There are 11 members of this committee. I don't know who the absences are. Arpal, do you want to list the people who are not on the call?
Not on right now. Nick Arena, Chris Corey, Nancy Sorden.
Okay.
Point of order, Sam Agarwal, the CFO, should be on the committee.
He is on the committee. He's one of the 11 people on this committee.
Right. I'm here.
And he is present.
Thank you.
Okay. So let's get down to business. I sent out a draft agenda. I sent it to the National Finance Committee mailing list. I hope everybody received it. And do we have a motion to approve the agenda?
This is Ken. I wanted to add two motions to the agenda that I distributed.
I believe I added your two motions to the draft agenda.
When did you send out?
The last one I sent out was at 12:54 p.m. Eastern Time. Do you have a copy of the draft agenda?
Moment.
The motions I added at your request was there's a motion on the CFO supervision of business managers and another motion on the SCA.
Right, thank you.
Okay. Do we have a motion to approve the agenda?
Motion to approve the agenda.
Second.
Who made the motion?
Mansoor.
Yeah, please announce your name when you speak up because we don't know everybody's voice at this point.
This is Nick Economides. I make a motion to approve the agenda.
Mansoor seconds that.
Paul for Stack.
Did somebody ask for a discussion on the agenda? I didn't catch that.
Yeah, R. Paul for Stack.
Okay. Go ahead, R. Paul.
Okay. Item number two, excused absences. There are no excused absences on the NFC. And unless the PNB has rescinded a motion from years ago, other committees don't have them either. So number two is we should just get rid of number two. I see there's an election for chair and secretary pro tem, followed by election, you know, nominations for others. And is this really necessary to spend the extra 10 minutes to spend another 10 minutes on it?
Well, I think it is, but you know, if you have a different opinion, we could discuss it.
Well, first, let me do I need to make an amendment to get rid of excused absences, or can we simply say, oh yeah, they don't happen here, so it wouldn't
If there's no objection, I have no problem with that.
May I address that issue?
Who is this?
May I address this man, sir? I'm sorry. May I address that issue?
Okay. You wish to be on the stack?
I wish to address the question that was asked about getting rid of item number two. I can answer that for like 30 seconds. And I think the reason is when it comes down to later on, those who attend the meetings who are not part of PNB, I think, if I'm not mistaken, we would approve or disapprove them to be a voting member. And being absent is what disqualified them. Being absent, it counts against those who are attending the meeting that we're going to be voted them in to vote, to be a voting member. I hope that answers it.
Well, according to R. Paul Martin, there is no such thing as excused absences on this committee. I don't know if that's the case or not. R. Paul, could you maybe explain why you think that is the case?
Yeah. Well, it's not just me. It's everybody for the past 9 years. Basically, the NFC is constituted as per the bylaws. The bylaws say who is a member of the NFC. The members are the treasurers from each of the five stations, five directors elected by the PNB, and the CFO. So that's all 11 people, and that's it. There is no provision in the bylaws about somebody losing it, because the way we're on here is different from all other committees. So that has been the logic for all these years. And if somebody misses every single meeting, well, too bad on them, but you cannot lose your membership as long as you're either the CFO, a treasurer, or put on by the PNB.
Well, that makes sense to me. So let me repeat, are there any objections to removing that item from the agenda?
Yes, I do object, Mansoor.
Okay. Then do you want to state your reasons for objecting? And if you don't, anybody else wants to weigh on it, we'll go to a vote.
It's not really that complicated. I just want to know who's been present and who hasn't been present in the meeting. That's it.
Well, that you can get from the roll call. You don't need to have an item on the agenda called excuse absences to know that information.
Yes. I have had excuse absences from LSB meetings as well. So I just think protocol is good.
Okay. Is there anybody else who wishes to speak on this topic?
Could I say one final thing here?
Sure.
There are minutes, and the minutes list who is attending the meeting.
Well. Okay. If there's no further discussion, let's go to a vote on this. All those in favor of removing item two from the draft agenda.
Should we raise our hand?
Well, we can't raise our hand. R. Paul, you're going to have to, you know, go through the list.
Go through the roll call. Okay. All right. The amendment is to remove excused absences from the agenda. Ken Aaron.
Yes.
Sam Agarwal.
No.
Nick Arena. Chris Corey. Bill Crozier.
Yes.
Nick Economidis.
Yes.
Sabrina Jacobs.
Yes.
R. Paul Martin, yes. Mansoor Sabah.
No.
Nancy Sorden. Alex Steinberg.
Yes.
Okay. Nick Arena. Chris Corey. Nancy Sorden. All right. 6-4, 2 against, 0 abstentions.
Okay, so The motion passes. Is there any further discussion on the agenda? Anybody
Yes. If we're going to have an election of officers, I don't think it's necessary in this meeting. If we're going to do it right now, then I think we should remove electing a pro tem. The only reason to elect a pro tem is if you want to postpone it for a week to elect the permanent. But if we're going to elect the permanent, there's no the pro tem. So I move to remove the pro tem election.
So you want to remove items 3 and 4?
Yeah.
Okay. Are there any objections? Seeing no objections, items 3 and 4 are removed from the agenda. Is there any further discussion on the agenda? Seeing no further discussion and not hearing any objections to the agenda as amended, the agenda is approved by consensus. So let's go to the next item on the agenda, on the amended agenda, and that's what used to be item number 5, nominations for permanent chair of this committee.
This is Ken Aaron. Could I be recognized?
Go ahead, Ken.
I believe it's a conflict for people who are officers. We have two people on the committee that are officers, Bill Crozier and Sabrina, to be elected as chair of the Finance Committee. And the Finance Committee chair has to be a director. So the candidates are very limited. And it's Mansoor, Alex, and I'm not sure the other one would be
me,
Nancy.
Sabrina.
Nancy.
But Sabrina's currently vice chair of the
PNB.
So that's a conflict, personally.
Yes.
But in any event, I nominate Alex Feinberg.
I second.
I second that.
I'll third it. How's that?
Approved.
It is not necessary to second a nomination. I do accept the nomination, though. Are there any further nominations for chair of this finance committee? Seeing no further nominations, then we don't actually need a vote.
Okay, great. Let's move on.
We have 4 minutes and 30 seconds.
So Alex Steinberg, that's me, is now the chair of the National Finance Committee. Can we move on? The next item on the agenda is nominations for the secretary of the National Finance Committee. Can we have the nominations, please?
This is Ken. I nominate R. Paul Martin.
I nominate Paul as well.
Okay. R. Paul Martin has been nominated. Are there any other nominations for Secretary of the National Finance Committee?
I accept.
R. Paul Martin accepts. Seeing that there are no other nominations, we don't need a vote on this for this position either, and R. Paul Martin is now the Secretary of the National Finance Committee for 2017.
The way that we are moving forward, we might be done in about 30 minutes. My goodness, that's a record for Pacifica.
Well, let's see if we can keep up the momentum. The next item on the agenda is the report from our CFO, Sam Agarwal. I allotted 30 minutes to this report. I don't know if that's too little or too much, but let's see how it goes. Sam, you have the floor.
Well, thank you very much. Actually, this is very impressive to see things moving so smoothly. So I will use the CFO report that I had sent to PNB on April 18th. Because pretty much the things are current as it was described in that report. And just because I want to keep the my presentation to be under 10 minutes, so I will pick up two items that are more important, and I think everybody will be interested to know. So one is
Sam,
the fiscal year...
Sam, sure. Excuse me. Could you speak a little bit slower?
Oh, okay.
Thank you.
So let me pick up the fiscal year 15 audit status first, the preparation for the fiscal year 15. The audit committee has been having meetings to send out the RFPs and receive proposals. And I have been answering questions from prospective CPA firms. I think that's pretty in the advanced stage. They will be meeting again to select the CPA firm, but it may take maybe a couple of weeks to decide the final the auditor for the fiscal year 15. But in the same.
Don't do that.
There was a noise on the background, so I had stopped.
Yeah. Can somebody, mute themselves, please? There was some background noise.
It sounded like Ken. Ken, can you mute your phone? Thank you. Sam, go ahead and continue.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you. So at the same time, we are preparing for the for the auditors, like on the financial statements and everything. And it's no secret that the process is kind of going a bit slow, slower than what you would like to see. Some of the challenges we know already. WBI, New York, and Washington, WPFW, don't have business managers. So I'm taking help from KPFT business manager and KPFK business manager to complete their accounts. And national office is helping out as much as it is possible. But it is a little encouraging to note that those stations are coming around nicely, and we should be able to wrap up in a reasonable period of time. The two stations, KPFT and KPFK, Houston and LA, they are in reasonably good shape. We have received a lot of information from them because they have business managers. So they can attend to the audit request, and that is almost nearing completion. The surprising holdout is KPFA. They have been extremely late in submitting their documentation and their schedules and everything for the audit. So I have been in communication with them, and it would definitely cause delay. Because let me just take a minute to explain the process. It is when the stations complete their schedules and their paperwork, then only the national office can review and complete the final package for the auditors. Now, the auditors expect that we should be able to tie out all the statements, be done with all reconciliations, be done with all the adjusting entries, and give them the final product. They don't want any changes because otherwise they have to redo the work. And that is what kind of holds up the whole process. So I would not be able to kind of give a firm date at this time because of the delays and some of the issues that we are finding out. The other big bottleneck that we are having, and that is kind of fully described in my CFO report, is about the staffing issue at the national office. It is really very difficult to hire any skilled person because we cannot compete with the with San Francisco wages. It is so disheartening that I have conducted interviews for about, say, maybe 30 to 40 people. We have brought in about 7 or 8 people, and almost, except for one, they have left in the first or second day because they could not, they did not have the skills or they could not do the job. So that is becoming a big bottleneck, and I am trying my best to seek resources because the other attachment that you will see in my CFO report is the backlog of work. There are very critical dates, and substantial amount of work has to be done before we can be in compliance, not only the audit, but there are so many other things. So we are hurting very bad in terms of the staffing, but we are keeping the show kind of, so to speak, going on because I am taking help from KPFT business manager, and there's some part-time help also at the national office that we are using. And people are working very long hours, like 50 to 60, as a kind of a general routine. So having said
Sam,
that...
Sam, slow down, please.
Okay, sorry. So having said that, I expect that if everything will come back from the stations, particularly where... it's late at this stage. We should be able to wrap up by, say, around 31st of May. That would be about a month or so from now on, because we have to keep in mind that the AG has given us the until August 27th to complete the audit. And that is a very tight schedule no matter what, and especially the past history, that is even more ambitious. So, we are trying our level best, I would say.
Sam, I'm sorry, this is Sabrina. You said May 31st, everything should be wrapped up, is that correct?
That is my best estimate at this time, given the constant reminders and the constant interactions that I'm having with business managers and with the accounting team. That and given the level of urgency that we have demonstrated, that there's no other thing more important than completing the paperwork for the audit.
Okay, so this and is May 31st. Everything will be wrapped up for the audit for 2015. Is that correct?
Let me clarify. What I mean is that is the starting date, not the finishing of the.
Oh. Okay. Start date.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Start date. Because I was having a personal goal for May 15th to kind of coincide with the hiring of the CPA firm.
Mm-hmm.
But because of this unexpected delay that we are having, I have to push back the date by at least 15 days.
And you gave another date in regards to the AG. I think you said the 27th. I couldn't quite hear. Is that correct?
That is 27th of August.
Okay, the 27th of August. Okay.
Yeah.
That's the deadline for the AG. Got it.
Right. We are in a very tight frame. If we compare the past history, I don't want to kind of repeat the history on the public airwaves. It's very discouraging. And there's a lot of change that has to happen. I would not have the time to go into details, but we just have to kind of change the culture, how we kind of manage the whole process. And I'm trying my best, but this is the uphill task that, say, I'm facing. So let me move on to the second topic, because that is also very important, and I need a lot of help from this body, and that is the central services. So let me first talk at the very high level. If you see the statement that is attached to my report, you will see that there's an amount of 555,000 that is outstanding for the last 15 months or so. Notable stations where the payments have not been forthcoming are Washington, New York, and Houston. So you can imagine that, say, if almost more than a third of the budget is not paid, how can we really operate our business? And we are seeing the results. That is the reason why we don't have the money to pay for the critical services that we ought to be paying. The more important thing is that I need the help from this body to explain that central services is not a tax. It is for the payment of the real services like the accounting, the legal, the insurance, the payroll processing, and those things that any business has to pay. If the business is not paying for those services, basically it cannot be in business. So unfortunately, there's no consequence for non-payment of central services. An IED can repeatedly remind the stations that this is an obligation that they have to abide by, but it has no authoritative force behind it. We are not vested with that authority to force that. Unless until we vest this authority, basically what is happening is that the stations are kind of, sometimes they are withholding the payment and they are balancing their budgets or their books on the backs of the national office. That is very disheartening because it is, I mean, if I can give a simple example, that it is like cutting the blood supply to the brain and hoping that the body parts will survive. This cannot happen. But we are seeing the results, what is happening as a result of this this non-payment. And if I can quickly add that this is on top of the $250,000 that was not paid by KPFK in 2015. So you can imagine that $750,000 have not been paid to the national office in the last couple of years. And there's no consequence. So I fully support the two motions that have been proposed by Ken. But I would definitely like to take your help on some enforcing mechanism, how the central services can be demanded and paid by the stations. So let me stop here. I think.
Okay.
Yeah.
Sabrina for the stack, Alex. Sabrina for the stack, please. I have a question for Sam, please.
There's noise in the background. Could we have our phone muted while we're not?
Yeah, that's me. Mansoor, I'm on the bus. I'm on my way home. It's me. I just needed to unmute myself so I could be on this deck. I'm sorry.
Thank you.
Sabrina, I'd like to ask a question first. Sam. What?
Me too.
Do you have a suggestion as to how the National Finance Committee, what the National Finance Committee could do to ensure that the stations do pay central services?
So what I would suggest that it should be the enforcing mechanism that I'm talking about, that the third payment that should be coming out from the station after the payment of the payroll and the health care, the third payment should be central services. Now, if a station is going through difficulties, then they can ask for a waiver or for extension from the IED and the CFO. But it should not be according to their discretion, because otherwise, this is the last payment that will be made. And we have seen that in some cases, no payments have been made for last 15 months. And unfortunately, what happens when the station gets some extra money, still, the money is not utilized for central services. It is utilized for so many other reasons. So we need a resolution from the National Finance Committee, and then it should be approved by the PNB that the station is bound to make these payments. And if they cannot, then they will have to look into seriously about their business model. Let me give a very simple example. If they don't pay the rent, they will get an eviction notice. I mean, they will not be able to stay in the building. But there's no such consequence if they don't pay the central services.
So, well, I think we need a motion. Do you have a motion prepared, Sam, or is anybody prepared to write such a motion? And we could bring
I have a question. What exactly does this motion propose? I mean, this is already something that's been set in stone that all the stations have to do. And it's my understanding that that's always been. But I think what Sam is talking about is repercussions for not doing it. We have to create a protocol that includes repercussions for them not paying their central services. So what are some of the possibilities of creating that? What can we do? Do we write up the business manager? Do we write up the general manager? Do we write up both of them? You know, is it turn into a personnel thing where it's a series of write-ups and then termination or suspension? You know, so I think we need to have repercussions so that they're scared. You know, they're scared into doing what they're supposed to be doing. Unfortunately, it has to be that way.
Mansoor would like to be added to a stack.
Okay. I'd like to hear Sam reply first, and then you can go, Mansoor.
Yeah, you're right, Sabrina. There has to be some enforcing mechanism. There has to be some consequence. And the only thing that that can work is when the general managers and the business managers are held responsible for that, for non-payment. And that can come through a PNB directive, through a finance committee and PNB directive only.
Is that what you want, Sam? That's always, you know, say the word. And
yeah.
I mean, I'll back it up.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, definitely. I mean, it's long overdue.
Okay. All right. So I think we need to maybe create some type of subcommittee or something. I mean, Alex or Paul Martin, if you guys want to chime in with any suggestions as far as, you know, what type of repercussions we need to come up with, penalties of some sort. Go ahead.
10 to the stack.
Ken. Well, first Mansoor, who was on the stack, and Ken.
Thank you. I just want to express that we need to think a little bit differently about punishment. And the thing is, we have a lot of chaos in the governance management of the radio stations, and some of the managers like the national office, some don't. So I think before we fix that, it's going to be a while to rewrite the bylaws, and that way we can have the managers to be accountable to the ED. Till then, I don't know if scare and fear tactic will work, but what I would like to get everybody's think about, we need to think differently how we can raise money for the national office. I'm not denying that they need to pay the central services, but when you have no money, you cannot pay Houston, Washington, D.C., and WBAI. So what does this committee can do to raise money for national office to move us forward so we can fix this financial dire situation? That's my input. Thank you.
Sabrina for the stack.
Okay, Ken was on the stack. Ken?
Yeah, I wanted to understand one thing in terms of the cash flow. If there's any money that goes directly to national that then gets reallocated back to the stations, it would seem to me appropriate that that's the point of control that national mandates, taking out the central services as opposed to the station writing a separate check or asking to be excused. I think it should be an automatic withdrawal. And of course, I don't understand the cash flow, how the money goes back and forth, you know, on payroll and other issues. But if there's any way that national can control it and that the station would have to request an excused withdrawal saying, please don't take out or only take out half of my central services this month, But I think the control of withdrawing the central services shouldn't be shouldn't be causative from the station. Should be passive. Should be automatically done. Does the cash flow of money allow for that? Does the national office have control on the accounts so that it could automatically withdraw the central services?
No. Unfortunately, we don't have the control because that is another issue, that we don't have one bank account. Each station has a different bank account, and the national office does not have control on that. So we cannot.
The national office is not a signatory on those separate accounts.
Right. And even last year, the resolution was passed that the CFO and the IED should be a signatory on every account. But even if that may be the case, we don't have any vested authority to take money out without the approval from the station.
Yes, but my point is, if the PNB grants you that authority, at least in an emergency basis on a rule that could be sunsetted, you know, for the next 6 months, the IED and the CFO have the authority to withdraw funds to satisfy the central services. So that's my comment on it. I'm just saying it's a question of, because chasing around with a stick or a carrot is after the fact of an event occurring that we don't like. In other words, we're not getting the money, so we're going to discipline somebody. But that's too late. We just don't want it to happen. Central services, I don't really care where they get the money. National office has to comply with certain functions to keep the foundation running. And, it's not an opinion. It's a fact. So I'm just saying, if there's some way that the national office can get control of the cash flow to make sure it's getting its central services. Okay, that's all. That was my thing.
All right, let's move this back. I have Sabrina and then Bill. Sabrina?
Sabrina was on a bus. Maybe she lost.
Okay, Bill, can you? It's your
okay,
turn
thanks.
Then.
Yeah, well, the cash flow really is a problem. I mean, Sam and I are talking very frequently
Hello?
About the cash flow problem.
Hello?
And,
Hello?
Oh, Sabrina. Sabrina's back.
Okay,
Sabrina,
that was weird. Yeah, I was just saying that I agree with Ken, and I think it's great. That's a great idea. But what we're experiencing over at KPFA in regards to the our business office, business manager, is basically there's, you know, the information for the audits is being held hostage, and it's holding everything up, and it needs to be dealt with. It's been over 2 years for all of that to be dealt with, and it hasn't been dealt with. And there needs to be some level of protocol for that to be dealt with, or there needs to be a reason why it's not happening. But I think that something needs to be put into place to ensure that we're getting all the information that we need so that we can keep our stay in compliance with our nonprofit status. I mean, at this point, it's ridiculous. Whatever is wrong needs to be brought to the fore and dealt with, and whatever is not right needs to be dealt with some level of repercussions. Thank you.
Okay, Bill, go ahead. Bill?
Oh, sorry, I was muted. Yeah, the national office, you know, has bills to pay too. I know the stations do, and the national office really depends on getting those central services. It's just, it's really tough. And like Mansoor said, in fact, we've talked about doing another, some sort of fundraiser to help raise money for the national office, and we plan to talk to the GMs tomorrow during our weekly conference call meeting about that and some other things. Yeah, I mean, the problem is if the stations don't have the money, they'll have the money. But, you know, we've also talked about making the essential services as the third priority for stations when they have revenue. First is payroll and then health insurance and then essential services. Because for some of the stations, it's been a much lower priority. And there's always other things that they can spend money on, and they have very good reasons to spend money on it. But meanwhile, the national office is starving, and we have bills to pay too, and creditors are, you know, knocking at the door. So, I mean, this is something Sam and I do need to go over with the GM some more. It's not an easy solution, but I do kind of like the idea of doing something to raise revenue specifically for the national office, because it does provide a lot of these services that the stations really do need. We can't just ignore them.
Bill, let me just respond to your last statement. I do think we need to do something to raise money for the national office, but that seems to be a separate issue than how we can get compliance from the stations for central services. And I'm not convinced there's any simple solution to that. The bottom line is that if the stations aren't providing central services, it's probably because they just don't have the money. Making it a priority or not making it a priority is probably not going to change a lot, in my opinion.
Mansoor would like to speak as well.
Go ahead, Mansoor.
Oh, thank you. I'm sorry, I think all of us know the dire situation that we are in. Bear with me for 15 seconds. The last bastard executive director of Pacifica didn't do anything for 3 years, and we are where we are. So my whole thing is we need to have a holistic, with WH, holistic approach to this problem. And right now, we have the ones that we are here to deal with this issue. And at this moment, I think it's a wrong way of pushing the stations that they have to, must do these things, because we don't have all the stations supporting our interim executive director's ideas. So instead of creating a little bit, extend our list of enemies and detractors, I think we need to take one step backwards and figure out what we can do for this year to bring in more money, and be it that we go sell a military F-16 to bring money for Pacifica, or sell apple pie. We need to think differently, and that's what I know it might sound simple, but it's the hardest thing to do right now. Nobody believes in Pacifica. Nobody wants to give any money to a foundation that, quote-unquote, going down and somebody wants to catch it. And there is no confidence. So right now we are the ones who can do this thing, and we definitely have to think differently, come up with different approach, reach out to the big donors in our local to give money to either stations and the foundations. For two reasons, we need to survive this year, and we need to change the mindset of those previous regimes as imposed general managers who do not believe, who do not share our philosophy, and who are actually opposing what we want to do, which is not only save Pacifica, but make it flourish and expand it. So we really need to think differently and bear the time for at least for the rest of the year that we would be successful. Thank you.
Sam on the phone.
This is Nick Arena from PFW on the stack as well.
Okay, Sam, go ahead.
Yeah, I would like to make a quick comment. Actually, I'm hearing the arguments, and that's a good discussion to have. But let me give a different take. The reason why I am suggesting that there should be some consequence, because I am trying to tie this issue with the cash flow. We are, between me and Bill, we are conducting periodic meetings with the station managers and the development manager And we are seeing that the same kind of pattern continues from year to year, and there has been no improvement. Rather, it is worsening. And just because there's no consequence, so there's no urgency that this should be in the equation. This amount should be in the equation. Or if they are not able to meet this commitment, basically the shortfall is, say, 50,000, 100,000. Okay, that is manageable. So the broader point that I'm trying to make is that the business model itself, like, I mean, what I refer to as like programming mix or something of that kind, that has to change. But the driving force is not there. And that is why we are seeing the results of some stations that it is not, I mean, they are bleeding red for the last so many years. And there has been no significant improvement in the financial condition. So that is the broader point I'm trying to make with this. I'm not happy with the kind of setting a punishment or something of that kind. But how do we change this pattern that is happening for so many years?
Sam, let me just...
So this is Nick for the stack. Can I jump in after this? I think I was next.
Yeah, I just wanted to ask Sam a quick question first.
Sure.
Sam, don't we have in place mechanisms for compliance in terms of the evaluation of the general managers and the business managers? Am I wrong about that? Shouldn't it be part of the evaluation to judge how compliant a station is with central services? Of course, taking into account the specific problems of each station.
Well, in practice, that has not worked because there was no performance evaluation at all for the last year. So if that could be a deterring force, I mean, that was not really done and that was not effective. So basically, it's a moot point that that, say, was out of the question and nothing happened. Now, we are inheriting, and the other practical problem that I would suggest is that no matter what, even if we do the performance evaluation, it is too late after the fact. Things are happening in real time, and if we cannot pay the bills today, there's no tomorrow. That's the big dilemma that we face. So I agree with you, there should be performance expectations and there should be evaluation and those things. But the consequence is too late.
So this is Nick Arena. Can I be recognized?
Nick, you're on this.
Apologies for being late. I didn't get the new number. At least I got it, and I didn't realize. I just want to make a couple points. I think Bill and Sam are making very good points around the fact that we have to think differently about how we raise money, both at the station level and at the national level. And I think the suggestions of partnerships from like-minded community groups that could provide support in a way that isn't underwriting but is support of the station, as well as matching pledges during membership drives and looking for larger sums of money from within the community, be it government and other sources, are good things that the general managers and that the staff that are doing the fundraising should do. And continued support and comments coming nationally from Bill and Sam on this to the local stations and to the local station boards, I think would help, because there is some resistance in my experience around the idea of what might be considered underwriting. On the point of expenses, my experience at WPFW has been that, you know, we inherited an expense structure that was set up in basically earlier than 2014 that we haven't been able to hold on to because of the union contract and other fixed expenses that we've got in a time that we weren't receiving any CPP funding. You know, that isn't an excuse for not paying central services, but when we had a choice of paying rent and paying payroll and not being sued by the union, we decided to pay the rent and pay the payroll and not pay the central services, and not as a that we should be punished for it. It's just that we're just trying to keep the station on air. We also were dealing with a transmitter issue that we inherited from many, many years ago, over 20, that we finally corrected and have found that we've had a large increase in our revenue because our transmitter is stronger. So for those who are saying that, you know, there should be some consequence around not paying central services, I understand the perspective, but it's not that the stations like PFW have been spending money irresponsibly. It's just we've been trying to meet our basic expenses. I do think that what needs to happen is the things that have been offered, and that what finance committees like us here, but also locally, have to spend their time doing is raising money, and that should be the focus. And stations that are doing a better job of that through partnerships and other ways, not just member support, should share those and share those with all around so that people could capitalize on those as well in their community, as well as any national efforts to raise money that would be, you know, a national effort that would help the stations itself, be it a national program, et cetera, that have been happening. Those will help. But I think the real focus and attention ought to be on raising the money, you know, and providing the financial information that Sam's discussed, and some of the other issues that get talked about in these committees should probably be, you know, put to the back burner.
Ken to the stack.
Who is that?
Ken to the stack.
Okay, I forget. Was there anybody else who wanted to be on the stack? Okay, go ahead, Ken.
I think, you know, philosophies and longer-term solutions are obvious. We all know them. Obviously, we just need to earn more money and live longer and have more listeners. It's, you know, sure. For immediate remedy, so that we don't, the lights don't go out, and therefore we can't broadcast, and therefore we can't make any money. I would propose that, A, if it's at all possible, get a line of credit against existing real estate, and B, proceed with the one-day fund drive, because that was very successful, raising money for the audits, and maybe we can, if anybody has any influence, we could get celebrities to offer a night out or a dinner, like an Amy Goodman $2,000 dinner thing, or whatever, some kind of creative thing. But, you know, that has worked, and I think we can pull it off, a one-day running, one-day event to raise funds for the central, for the national office. However, in the financial world, if we can get a line of credit against existing real estate, I think we should do it. I know that we have an intent to liquidate or rearrange our assets and convert some property to some liquid cash. So in the interim, I think it would be appropriate to utilize our assets. We're not earning money on our mortgages. The cost of money now is still fairly low, like 3%, 4%, 5%, and we're not using that. We have assets sitting that are not earning interest. That's our real estate. So if we get a line of credit and solve problems, it's better to pay a bill before you get a penalty on the bill. You save 20%. It's better to have an attorney review a contract before you sign a bad contract. And it's better to have accounting staff to get our books prepared for the audit than to get in further trouble with the attorney general. So I would say that we make a motion to authorize a line of credit that the PNB probably has to approve against whatever real estate is necessary, a line of credit which could be up to $100,000, or I don't know, that would be up to Sam. But I mean, we need a real-world solution, not let's all be nice and love each other and hope and pray and whatever. So
May I add to that? Ben Church here.
Let me answer that first. Ken, the Pacifica National Board has already approved doing something with some of our real estate, whether it means a mortgage or a line of credit. We already approved such a measure. So I don't think it would be necessary for the Finance Committee to pass a motion about that at this point.
Okay, well, then, just in respect to that, just a point of information, does the CFO have authority to use that line of credit as necessary to handle national office expenses?
If I can respond, it is not a line of credit. Yeah, it is not a line of credit. It is a PNB authorization to seek mortgage. Now, I have to be careful that I can't get into details because this is open meeting.
Right.
But this is to settle a debt that is outstanding at this time. So that is for a specific purpose. That is not for the operating reasons.
Okay, I stand correct. I think you're correct, Sam.
Okay, well, so I'm just saying then, therefore, as a body, we might consider granting the CFO more leeway for use of that line of credit. Because I don't want to, if you don't open the store, you can't sell the goods. If we don't broadcast, we can't do any fund drives. If we lose our licenses, we're out of business. So it's foolish to try to save money on things that are going to close us down.
Let me just say that
granting more authority to the CFO to use line of credit as needed.
Okay, so far we've been having a very good discussion, but if you want to pass the motion, we need something in writing.
Okay.
And anybody is welcome to try to do that. I've heard two good ideas. One is a line of credit. The other is an extra fund drive of some sort for the national office operations. Sam's point about forcing compliance, somebody wants to craft a motion on that, go ahead, but I think it's a pretty complicated issue, and I don't see how we're going to be able to figure out a motion that makes sense on the fly on something like that right now.
Bill Flistack.
Yes, Sam.
Munster wanted to speak.
Okay, I think it was Munster, then Bill. Go ahead, Munster.
Okay. All right, thank
Sam,
you very much.
Sam,
I'll defer to you to go first.
that's okay. Thank you. So I would just make a quick point that when we are drafting a resolution of that kind to have a one-day national fund drive, the other option could be that we can add one more day to the existing fund drive that the stations are having. Because what I was thinking, I mean, I don't want to question anybody's sincerity, but when we are conducting just one-day fund drive from the stations, I don't know whether that kind of energy or that dedication or involvement will be there from the station, because it is for a different purpose. So I want to be very careful that I'm not trying to question anybody's judgment on sincerity on this. But when I thought about it, it looked to me a little more attractive if we can add one more day to the existing drive, and then we can collect on the basis of the average daily collection, we can collect for one day drive money. I mean, this body can deliberate on this and decide which may be the best option, but that was my thought.
So may I speak now, Munster?
Munster, and then Bill. Go ahead.
All right, thank you. Okay, you have to forgive me for first philosophizing a little bit, and then we can bring it down to earth and where we at. So what's the big picture here?